Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Amen. So today's service will be more like a family meeting. The Lord has spoken to me, please bring it out a bit. To speak to us as a family. Because God is raising millionaires and billionaires from this family. Your amen is not loud enough. If you are one of them, can you shout a big amen? Yeah. So I want to speak to us as a family this morning. And that's why I want you to listen. Remember what I said. Keep your eyes and your ears on the word. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not the removing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. The word of God is what renews your mind. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, it says, they are life to those who find them. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let it not depart from your eyes. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. There is nothing that God wants to do in your life that He will not do through His word. If He wants to heal you, He will heal you through His word. If He wants to prosper you, He will prosper you through His word. If He wants to transform or deliver you, the Bible says He sent forth His word and He healed them and delivered them. Everything God wants to do, He's only able to do through His word. And this is the time, that is why you cannot be distracted or be thinking about, you can't be thinking about that. Keep your eyes there. God wants us to talk today as a family, and He has given me a word for you, and I want you to listen to me intently. When He blesses them in the Bible, He blesses them by families. You know, the Jewish people understand the place of the blessing more critically than an average person. A Jewish man knows the blessing is everything. The blessing is everything. Last Sunday I preached on the power of the blessing. If you have not gone back to listen to that sermon, you have to go back and listen to it. And that's one of the things you have to learn. As a child of God, you must learn to listen and listen. Listen to me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. That's how faith comes. I'm telling you the truth. The areas of your life where you are weakest in faith is the areas of your life where you have listened to God's word less often. The area of my life where I am strongest in faith is the area of my health. I am too strong in the area of my health because I have listened and listened and listened too much. I told you about 10 years ago, Bishop Edugo preached a sermon, 5 power buttons for total health. I must have listened to that sermon 100 times. I could almost preach it verbatim. When I was in my father's house, it's about almost 15 or 18 years. When I'm sweeping my compound, because my father had a big compound, I would put our Kenwood speakers. Some of you, how many of you friends had those Kenwood speakers, those big speakers that used to have line like this, brother? How many of you know those speakers? Nobody here knows those speakers. Kenwood like this, you don't have line, like plastic like this. Ah, you guys were in the world of a Bluetooth. I will put the speaker in our veranda. Serious noise pollution. Everybody must hear the word. And until it entered my spirit, it was too strong. I remember I was preaching the gospel one of those days on my campus, and my eyes were swollen. My left eye was swollen. I didn't know whether it was Apollo or some form of insect bites, but my eye was swollen. And I was preaching. Guess what I was preaching on? Faith and healing. So as I was preaching, I remember those guys were looking at me like this. As I was preaching, listen to me. There's no sickness that Jesus cannot heal. As you're looking at me, there's no sickness. They're looking at me, eyes like this. We see it. I say, I know. I know all of you are looking at my eyes. You know, I had to come to that conclusion. I said, but if you're going to see me, the next time you see me, this is dried up. And I got up and I walked away. You guys saw me the next day. Indeed, it was dried up. Clear. You have to say, how did it happen? I said, it's faith. is faith. Faith is activated by words. Activated by words is faith. Faith. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you will speak to this mountain. Faith, if you are not bold enough to say it, then you have not believed it. You see, your faith is shown by what you say. I know your faith. Bible says, out of the abundance of man's heart, his mouth speaks. You see, and with heart, a man believes. If you are not bold enough to say, if you cannot say it, don't believe it. If you cannot say that by this time today, or by this time next year, or by this time next 2 years, if you cannot say it like that, then you don't believe it. So I became so strong in my health. So strong. In those days on campus, I would say, I can never be sick till I die. I was saying it every day. My pastor wife said, don't be saying that. Just be saying that, by the grace of God, with the help. I said, no. The Bible says the grace of God has already appeared unto all men. I will never be sick. One day I was lying down on my bed, my friends, I was running temperature. So my friends came and touched. They saw I was sleeping longer than usual. They came and touched it. I said, he's running temperature. Yeah, wake him up. They woke me up. They say, you are running temperature. You are sick. I said, have you heard from the scriptures? That his word is shot up like fire in my bones. I said, the word is burning. That's what you see. You see this external sensation. Is the fire. The Bible says, who is it that can carry fire in his bosom and not burn? I'm not sick. It was too real to me. It was too real to me. Why? Because I dwelt on that. So the areas of your life where you are weakest in faith is the area of your life where you have not been hearing God's word the more. If you are very afraid of your marital life, it's because you have not been feeding yourself with God's word enough. You have been looking at Joro. You have been feeding on Joro. So you fed on Joro because faith comes by hearing. Fear also comes by hearing. You see, faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is believing God's word. Fear is believing the words of Satan. The both of them have the same supernatural force. So if you spend 1 hour studying and meditating on the blogs that say all kinds of terrible things about how marriage cannot work, marriage are not working, marriage is not working, things are bad, men are cheating, women are scum, fear women, fear. If you, by the time you spend 1 hour, it's going to create fear in your heart. I have zero worries concerning my marriage. Zero. Zero worries, as in no, I have zero worries, zero concern concerning my children. No worries. And it's not because I'm a pastor. This year makes it 11 years I've been married. 11 years. It's not because I'm a pastor. I have zero concern. I have a most amazing marriage. And it started from my courtship. You cannot have a godly marriage from a worldly courtship. Amen. I have zero words concerning my kids. Somebody told Kenneth again, they said, how do you help kids that are having a problem with addiction? Say, I don't know. Say, I don't know. Say, children say, I don't know. I don't have such problems. He said, why? Because my kids, before they were born, he said, I spoke into them in their mother's womb. Your heart will pursue your maker. You will love God with all your heart. Your heart will pant after God. You will serve God. He says your children will be arrows in the hands of God. He says, so his child is, he has Kennedy Jr. who is a pastor. Charles Egan, who is his grandson, is a pastor. He saw his great grandchildren before he died. All of them are doing well. There was no reason for rehab, no reason for what, nothing. There's no need. So if you ask him, how do you handle children that are wayward? He says, I don't know. My children have never been wayward. So faith about your children, any area of your life where you are weak in faith, is the area of your life where you have not been hearing God's word more. So when you have weakness or you have fear, what you need is not prayer point, it's word point. What do you need to believe first? I told the story about my friend who was having miscarriages, terrible miscarriages, had miscarriages about 4 times. The last one I was 6 months old. It was already 6 months before he had miscarriage. And they invited me to their house. And because my friend, I got there, sit down, Dr. Paul, he served me prawn crackers. And I was just and talking. Because I can talk a lot. I said, Philip, that's why I brought you here. He said, well, I said, what happened? He said, my wife has been suffering from miscarriages. 4 miscarriages. The last one was 6 months old. I said, what? That's not the will of God.
Miscarriage is not the will of God. It's not the will of God. Ah! So I sat them down for 3 hours. I will never forget. 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture. I was just opening. 3 hours. Not prepared. 3 hours. So you mean you pinch me like this? 3 hours. Miss. 3 hours. Time. Because it has to do with healing. I have fed too much on healing. If you pinch me, there's about 50 scriptures that can come on hell straight. Because I've taken it too much. 3 hours. When I was done, I prayed for them only 1 minute. I said, because your prayers are not answered because they are long. Your prayers are not answered because they are loud. Your prayers are not answered because we were plenty that was praying it. Your prayers are answered because it is strong in faith. I would rather pray for 1 minute with faith than 3 hours without faith. In preaching to them that day, I said, Madam, I said, the same Holy Ghost that makes you pray in tongues, I've never forgot. I said, the same Holy Ghost that makes you pray in tongues is the one that got Mary pregnant without an husband. You cannot be having husband and barren. Your case is easier for the Holy Ghost. Mary did not have husband, yet she got pregnant. Her eyes popped. That same week, she took him. I carried the baby in my hands like this. Because he became strong in faith. Keep your eyes on the word. 21st century Christian is so lazy. If I ask an average Christian, can you tell me 10 scriptures on grace? If I say I'm going to give you $100 this now, $100. $100 this morning if you're going to give me 20 scriptures on healing offhand. Nobody may get it. Give me 20 scriptures on prosperity. Offhand. Pra, 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 pra. My money might not leave me. If I say, okay, I'm reasoning to 15. Give me 15 scriptures on grace and truth. I might not be able to give anybody. When we're younger, I was risky. The pastor comes, that $100 is going. You'll be shocked. We are going to give you fast. You can even quote the entire chapter. Say Psalm 119. Some people even quoted, they crammed Psalm 119. You know how long Psalm 119 was? They crammed the entire scripture. Your faith will be strong when you feed it. What you need is not prophetic prayer, prophetic anointing. What you need is the word. Go for the word. Go for the. I'm a stickler for the word. If I show you my Bible, my Bible is painted. This is not my study Bible. This is my preaching Bible. This is Pastor Finn's Bible. I stole it. My Bible on my table. My Bible on my table in my office is painted. It's written. I'm almost written my own Bible in the Bible. The pages from there. The pages are torn. Stickler for the word. Stickler for the word. Keep your eyes on the word. Don't be lazy. The reason why the enemy can sneak into your life is because he knows you don't know. I prayed for one person. You know, I started bleeding. I went to the toilet and everywhere was filled with blood. Ah, what's this? Got up from the WC. The enemy said quickly. He said, this must be colon cancer. Or intestinal burst. Ah, I said, where did that come from? So, you see, those things that you hear as you are passing, they are sticking to your mind until the day the devil wants to use it. So I must have had colon cancer somewhere. Or large intestine infection. Or something. So I laid my hands on my bed. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your filthy hands of God's property. You have no place here. You have no future here. In the name of Jesus, went, came back, blood everywhere. Ah, I got up, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because I'm healed already. The devil's a liar, I'm healed. Went, third time, came back, blood everywhere. I mean, the blood didn't reduce. It happened 4 times. Blood, every time I saw it, blood. But I was consistent on my confession. You see, I don't allow the introduction of a new information change my confession. I stayed, Bible says, be ye consistent, hold steadfastly. The profession of your faith. The enemy will keep coming, thinking that you don't understand or you are not, you don't really mean what you are saying. 4 times the blood was there. 4 times I lifted up my hands and said, Father, I thank you because I'm healed already. When I came back the 5th time, there was no blood. It's been 1 year now, there'll be no blood. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the word, right? The Jewish people know what a blessing is. They will do anything for it. Abraham did everything for the blessing. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Help me. Please. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. What does it say? King James. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. What does it say?
And Melchizedek, king of Salem,
yes,
brought forth bread and wine.
He brought forth, that's communion. He brought forth bread and wine, yes.
And he was the priest of the Most High God.
He was the priest. You see, Melchizedek was the type of Jesus. But because the king of Salem, the king of peace, having no beginning or no ending. That was Melchizedek. It was the type of Christ in the Old Testament. Bible says he came with bread and wine. Bread and wine is the similitude of the communion. What did he see? What did he do next? What happened?
And he blessed him.
He blessed him.
And said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God.
Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God.
Possessor of heaven and earth.
Possessor of heaven and earth. Yes, next verse.
And blessed be the Most High God.
Yes.
Which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand.
Yes.
And he gave him tithes of all.
So the Bible says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. They understand the place of blessing. You see, a Jewish person doesn't play with blessing. That was why Esau, when Jacob had taken his blessing, because I don't believe that Jacob stole Esau's blessing. I believe that Esau was the one that wanted to steal Jacob's blessing. Because Jacob bought Esau's birthright. There was an agreement, there was a negotiation, and there was they swore to the Almighty God because of porridge. And he gave out his birthright. I believe strongly that whatever reason why he didn't negotiate, and I taught you last Sunday, I didn't have enough time. I would have loved to teach on the sermon Esau versus Jacob. I didn't have enough time to teach on that last Sunday. But I know that you guys got blessed. So, whatever it is, I believe that Esau was the one who was still Jacob's blessing, because Esau had already sold his birthright. He cried because he knew that it was not by Ozu. It is not by Ozu. It is not by Ozu. That blessing will make you rich. That blessing is God's favor, God's hand on your life. It will make things easy for you. And those who are not in Christianity are getting some form of empowerment from elsewhere. Now, you say, that person, you don't know what they are doing. It was in Wusetu that I saw Shigidi. Last 2 years, Wusetu. Yeah, Wusetu. Shigidi. You know what they call Shigidi? Do you know Shigidi? You don't know Shigidi? Shigidi is idol. Carved idol. With palm oil, grain of corn, who said to in front of pension commission. I was driving. I said, Shigidi Kore. Is this not Shigidi? I went and passed. I went to do U-turn. I parked. I came down. This is Shigidi. You know, because my father is an herbalist. These are my colleagues. This is it. In Wusetu. Who would have believed that there's somebody in Wusetu that has Shigidi? Usetu, you'll be shocked how many kind of incantations are going on in those offices, in this CBN. How many, if by the time they remove some people's chairs, MD's chair, you will see what is under MD's chair. They want to repair one office. I don't want to mention the name of that agency, but in this central area, they wanted to repair their wall. When they say we are building new wall, if you see the amount of Shigidi they brought out of the wall, out of fence, how did the Shigidi even enter inside the fence? You are just entering anyhow with your fire. There is Shigidi in your fence. There are people who are doing stuff. I'm telling you the truth. So if you sit back and say, after all, what is that message? Hey, unbelievers, they are not doing anything. You'll be shocked. Some of those guys don't sleep. Ask them. This election, do you know what went under? Do you know how many rituals, how many human beings were killed? Do you know how many blood was shed because of election? Lagos State even came out and did Oro. Do you know they did that in Lagos State? They came out and started offering sacrifice because of this election. So this is a spiritual world. Don't even think you are in a very... There's nothing casual about this. I saw it. I came. I even wanted to call the policeman. That policeman, The prophet might say, we're only dealing with human beings, please. We only interact with gods. I'm here to direct traffic, please. I'm not.
You will say on the road.
The Jewish people understand the place of blessing. They would cry for it. They would do anything for it. And we saw it in their lives. We saw how Jacob prospered. Jacob prospered in the house of Laban. I shared the scripture with you last Sunday. How that even as much as Laban was trying to alter and to change his salary, he still prospered irrespective of that. We saw how Joseph in the house of Potiphar prospered. Joseph prospered in the house of Potiphar. We saw how Isaac prospered among the Philistines. He dug a well. They collected it back. He dug another well. Genesis chapter 26. Go read Genesis 26. He dug another well. They collected it. They collected this well because they were in a famine. They didn't understand how Isaac's well was having water. A blessed man will have water in famine because it is not by hustle. He dug a well. They collected it. He dug another well. He dug four wells. Every well he dug, he had water. They don't have water. He got to a point. They say, this man is mightier than we are. They had to say, come and leave us. He says, because the Philistines envied him. That's a blessed man. Joseph was in the prison. What kind of prosperity can a man have in prison? In prison. He was so blessed. He was MDCEO in Potiphar's house. He came to the prison, became MDCEO. He was MDCEO in his father's house. MDCEO in Potiphar's house. MDCEO in prison. MDCEO in palace. When you see a man repeating the same things four times, it's not coincidence. It's not something was working for him. It is not coincidence that something you were at in the Potiphar's house, it worked. In the palace, it worked. In your father's house, it worked. In the prison, it worked. If it's working, something is working for it. It's not coincidence. It's not an accident. I say, he's just lucky. Luck doesn't happen four times like that. If it happens four times, it's not luck. It's not luck. This man is blessed. You know, Kenneth Copeland was writing a story about a particular prison in Louisiana. In that prison, they said there was a pastor there. He was the warden. He was the longest standing warden of that prison. That prison was so terrible, they call it the Devil's Island. People that are, you know, condemned to death. I don't want to send them. And this pastor became the warden of that prison. The prison was an 18,000 acre land. The pastor began to pray over the prison. Before he knew it, the best crops in the entire of Louisiana were only growing in that prison. In the prison. So whether you like it or not, they were producing the finest of crops. They were building, the people became supernaturally gifted. They built their own houses. They built their own apartments. They did a show, a skill show in the prison, and they raised $250,000 in the prison. He built four churches in the prison. He started a Bible school, graduated 18 Bible seminarians. He graduated from the prison. He was even wondering, what do I do with these Bible students? Four. They started a radio station in the prison and were broadcasting the gospel out of the prison because the blessing would work anywhere. The blessing can work in civil service. The blessing can work in Nigeria. A lizard that jackpot to Canada cannot become crocodile. A lizard that ran away from Nigeria cannot become crocodile. A blessed man is blessed anywhere and everywhere. I'm telling you, this is why you're even struggling like this now. It may be that your mind is too much out of this country. I'm telling you the truth. You know, when I was on campus, I'm just going to say this aside. It's not part of my sermon. Anybody that put their eyes like this, that they want to travel abroad, they don't make it. That they leave everything. I tell you, if you want to travel abroad. Be doing something. Let your traveling abroad meet you there. You understand? And you travel abroad. People that travel abroad will leave what they are doing to travel abroad. But anytime you see anybody that leave everything to start processing abroad, they may process it for 5 years. They never amount to anything. I'm telling you. A blessed man. He says, I will put rivers in your desert. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the plain truth. A blessed man is blessed everywhere. The blessing can, even in industries that people say nothing work here, nothing can work here. A blessed man gets there and things start working. Even in this country, things can work in Nigeria. Do you know there's money in this country? There's a lot of money. The money they say one political aspirant gave the INEC, I'm not sure that President Biden has seen that kind of money in his life. The amount of dollars in Nigeria, I'm not sure it's in America. The amount of cash, dollar cash in Nigeria, I'm not sure it's in America. I'm not sure. I'm telling you, you can see a Nigerian, every Nigerian can have $10,000 in his pocket. Don't let me even go there. That was my sermon. The blessing worked for Joseph, it worked for Jacob. The blessing worked for all of them because they had it working in their lives. Now, I want to talk to us as a family, as a church, SLC. This sermon is for you. This sermon is not for the outsider. This sermon is not for someone that downloads it from the YouTube. It might be blessed, but this sermon is principally and primarily for you and SLC. If you are an SLC member, if you are a son of this house or a daughter of this house, you need to listen to this. Genesis chapter 27, verse 15 to 29. Genesis 27, verse 15 to 29. Genesis 27.
And Rebekah took goodly eldest son Esau,
yeah,
which were with her in the house, yeah, and put them upon Jacob her younger son.
Yes.
And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands,
yes,
and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savoury meat and the bread which she had prepared into, yeah, the hands of her son Jacob.
Yeah.
And he came unto his father and said,
yeah,
my father. And he said, here am I. Mm-hmm. Who art thou, my son?
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
I have done according as thou biddest me.
Yeah.
Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison,
yeah,
and thy soul may be blessed.
Yes.
And Isaac said unto his son,
yes,
how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?
Yes.
And he said, because the Lord thy God brought
it
to me.
It says, because the Lord your God, because he had sent Esau, you know, just calculating that Esau would take some hours to get the aunt. It takes time. Hunters, it takes time for hunters to respond. It is cultivators that have it at their bid and call. So an hunter would always delay on the day of destiny. On the day of destiny demand, an hunter will not be able to respond in time. To someone who has not cultivated his business, on the day they ask him for 10 or 20 of your products in the US, because you are an hunter, you will not have had a systemized system to produce it instantly. You have to go and start from the scratch because you are an hunter. A cultivator builds, an hunter kills. So you see, Jacob said, the Lord your God has brought it to me. That's why he brought it so early. I don't want to spend time on that. Go to the next one. What is it next? 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Verse 22.
And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father,
yes,
and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.
Yeah.
And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy,
yes,
as his brother Esau's hands,
yes,
so he blessed him.
Yes.
And he said, yes, art thou my very son Esau?
Art thou my very son Esau? You see, so Isaac was asking over and over, are you my son? Are you my son Esau? Are you my son? You see, the blessing is for sons. The blessing is for sons. The blessing is not for strangers. The blessing, you see, there's a blessing of God on this house, but the blessing is an exclusive preserve for sons of the house. Please listen to me very carefully. Art thou my son, he said. The blessings are transferred through bloodline. So you can track the bloodline of the blessing from Jesus down to Abraham. This begat this, begat this, begat this. You can see how the blessing was going from generation to generation. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob and it lighted upon Israel. The Lord spoke to Jacob And the word that the Lord spoke to Jacob affected Israel. The word of blessing that the Lord speaks to a father, a progenitor, can affect his seed. There's a word of blessing over this church, SLC. It can affect the members or the children of SLC. Are you following me this morning? Are you following me this morning? So, the blessing is an exclusive preserve for sons. Psalm 22 verse 30 says, a seed shall serve him. A seed shall serve him and it shall be counted for a generation. So, God takes a seed and out of a seed, he has a generation. So, throughout scriptures, we see children inheriting promises from their fathers. You see God saying, I'm doing this thing to you because of my servant David. I'm doing this thing to you because of the promise I made to your father Abraham. You see God promising fathers and allowing the promise to go from generations to generations. There's a promise on this house, but it's an exclusive preserve for the sons of the house. Tell them, say, neighbor, are you a son? In John chapter 8 verse 35, help me, King James and NIV. John 8 verse 35, quickly. King James first, then NIV. King James first. John 8 verse 35.
And the servant abided not in the house forever.
Yes.
But the son abided ever.
So give me NIV. What does NIV say? Help me, media. NIV. You have NIV? Please.
Yes.
Media, do you have NIV?
Now a slave has no permanent place in the family.
It says a slave has no permanent place in the family.
But a son belongs to it forever.
The son belongs. Please follow me closely. Please follow. I'm begging you. Everything I've shared with you this month, this is the crown of it. The son has a place in the house forever. A slave has no place in the house. So when the blessing of God is on a house, it is the sons of that house. You see, the inheritance are for the children of the house. Inheritance are not for strangers. If you are passing by now, as much as you love, you say, okay, I love MK Abiola. People that were even fighting for MK Abiola, they even went and fought for his body from the prison. They did not collect a single tithe. Because the inheritance are for the children of the house, not for the supporters. Inheritance are not for fans. So if you're a fan of SLC, I'm sorry. Inheritance are not for fans. Inheritance are not for well-wishers. Inheritance are exclusive preserve of children of the house. And people can become children even though they are not biologically born. You know, Bishop Edipo, he says it all the time that he's a son of Kenetiki. I'm telling you, you see the power of God in the ministry of Kenetiki exemplified in the winners. Powerfully. Do you know when Kenneth Hagin died in America, they called Bishop that he should come and collect shoes. Kenneth Hagin shoes that they are part of Kenneth Hagin property that were his own. I'm telling you, that's an inheritance. He was so connected to the family. He was a son. He became a son spiritually that they even gave him tangible property that this is Baba's shoe. It belongs to you. It's in his house. Only sons take inheritance. No matter how powerful or how strongly you support a family, it doesn't make you heir. Sons are planted. Sons are planted in the house. Give me Psalm 92 verse 13. Psalms 92 verse 13. Sons are planted in the house. The Bible says they have a permanent place in the house. Do you have it? Psalms 92 verse 13. What does it say?
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our
God. The Bible says they are planted, so they flourish. Someone said they are planted?
They are planted.
So they flourish. So if I'm going to flourish in a house, I must be planted in that house. I can't be a church hopper. Hopping. Hey, this church today, that church today. If you plant a seed there, you say, this seed is too hot. You move the seed. You plant it there again. You move it. You plant it again. You know this. You know that seed cannot grow. You know it can't grow. How many of you know? You didn't do agric, but you know at least this one is. I know this agric. If I keep removing a seed and remove it, it will not grow anywhere. Even it's a very anointed seed, a very powerful seed. The soil is a very anointed soil. So far, it is not planted. The Bible says those that be planted, they bear roots downward, they bear fruits upward. Sons of the house are planted. Ask anybody, you see, neighbor, Are you a son in the house? You see, the blessing of God in this house, like I said, we only... I'm a son. And I'll explain that to you later. Just give me a few minutes. I'll explain that. Sons are planted. And because they are planted, they, number one, they partake of the house. Number one, because they are planted, they partake of the house. You see, I said this is a family meeting this morning. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. You have to help me very fast, please. Philippians 1 verse 7. Because they are planted, number one, they are able to partake of the house. What does it say?
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all,
yes,
because I have you in my heart,
yes,
inasmuch as both in my bonds,
yes,
and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel,
yes,
ye all are partakers of my grace.
Ye, Paul was writing to the Philippian church. He said, you all are partakers of my grace. There's a grace of God on the life of Paul. He says, you all are partakers of it. You partake of it. To partake means to benefit from it. Every son in the house that is planted has a right to partake. And that is why you must make sure you are partaking. They partake of the house. You don't have a mentor. Evangelist Gashita, I've followed him since I was in university. I didn't meet him in university. I just heard about him in university. And his prayer life. Ash! Evangelist Gashita could pray. He was the one that first told me that people can pray for 5 hours. I didn't know people can pray. He would read the Bible and be praying for 5 hours. He was such a prayer man. And the first time I was going to meet him, he would stand like this and be shaking his leg. He was such a prayer man. So I started following him from campus. The day I was going to stand in a meeting where he came, the meeting could not hold. Everywhere scattered. You know, doing the spirit kind of thing. Everywhere scattered. I said, God, I like this thing. I like this. This is what I want. I've seen what I want. Oh, Lord. So I began to pursue him. So I got his number from somebody. I would call him. He said, Who is this? He was too busy. Okay. He was in that for many years. I said, you, I'm your spiritual son. You don't know me. I will follow you. One day I heard because he lives in the UK, came to Lagos. I entered bus. I couldn't afford the plane. I took 30K in my hands. Like that. From the bus. Bus was maybe 7K. I can remember that time, bus from Lagos to Odisifisinashi, I think about 7K. Enter bus, order 30K, man. I was taken to it. So they said, this one Philip wants to see you. He said, who's that? Okay, that young man has been disturbing me. I said, I came here to see. He said, I hear you play the piano too. I said, yes. He said, okay, I'm going to preach tonight. You're playing piano for me. My head was swelling. I said, I'm playing piano for you. So I played for him. I stayed there all night with him. He prayed for me. He still could not remember my face very well. I said, you will remember my face. Just give me some more time. I pursued him. There was a day he was coming to preach in OAU. I went there. In OAU. I was no longer a student. As he was preaching like this, I was in the crowd. I stood up in the crowd. And I prayed in tongues for 2 hours as he was preaching. He would say, who is that fellow? You must recognize me, sir. You must know me. That's the point. I followed him hard like that. But he found a car. The day he said, you are my son, I knew I pursued him. His ministry is so powerful. And I'm seeing it bodily in my ministry. I'm seeing the same anointing, the same unction in my ministry. I'm seeing it till now. Because I pursued it. I'm a partaker. Are you following my point now? I'm a partaker. I partook of it. He was in Abuja yesterday. He called me, Philip. I said, yes. He said, please, I'll be ministering somewhere. You'll be there to serve with me. So I went there with him as his PA. He was with me. He said, a pastor's a big church. I said, he said, he wanted to do a Zoom meeting. He asked me, so we rushed to a place. I carried his phone like this. He was in Zoom meeting. He was talking. I carried his phone like this, like his phone holder. I served. As I'm carrying it, I said, Father, I'm a partaker. I'm a partaker. So children partake out of the flow of the power in their parents. You see, dunamis partaking from winners. It's visible. It's not visible. Is it denied? Can you deny it? You can't deny it. You see, if you look at the frontline children of Bishop Edebo, see Bishop Pastor Biome. You see in nature. You see Bishop Abiy. You see bodily. Bishop Abiy left the village, left Durumi, left church in Durumi, went to Goshen, started church from the scratch. Church grew to 30,000 in Goshen. You see Goshen all around about. They took over the entire of that area. Every house you see, winner sticker on every house. You see the grace flowing ceaselessly. If you are a member of this house, you should be partaking of the grace in this house. There's a grace here. There's a grace here. And I want to teach you. You must partake. Number two, because they are partakers, they produce the same result. Children are partakers. Number two, they produce the same result. You don't have to pray for an elephant's child to grow big. No prayer point. And if you give birth, a baby elephant is already bigger than a cow. A baby elephant. What do you call a baby elephant? Elephantina. Elephantina. What's a baby elephant?
Calf.
A calf is already bigger than a cow. A mature cow. The baby elephant. He is pregnant of that baby for 2 years. An elephant carries his pregnancy for how many years? 2 years. You don't have to pray for it. They produce the same result. Your life should produce the same result that you see here. Say, if you are a son, tap and say, neighbor, are you a son? Tap and say, neighbor, are you a son? I was praying this week. The Lord says, son, SLC is no longer a baby. He said, raise me sons and daughters. The Lord said to me this week. He said, raise me sons and daughters. You're no longer a baby. He said, I want to begin to see you in all your children. You. Look at Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, I read from verse 12 to verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 15.
And Elisha saw it and he cried.
Elisha cried.
My father, my father.
My father, my father.
The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.
Yes.
And he saw him no more.
Yes.
And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces.
Yes.
He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smoothed the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Yes.
And when he also had smitten the waters, it parted hither and thither.
Yes.
And Elisha went over.
Yes.
And when the sons of the prophets,
at
Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doeth rest on Elisha.
That the spirit of Elijah is on it. They saw it on him. Because that was how Elisha parted Jordan. The same result. The transference of spirits will generate the same result. Same result. So if you live here and God calls you to ministry and takes you to a place, anywhere he takes you, you generate the same result. Same result in impact. Same result in strength. Same result in energy. You generate the same result. You cannot live here and go and become a weakling. Never. In your business, you generate the same results. In 4 years of doing business, you must be known. They must feel you. Your testimony must worry the neighbor. They must know. They must be aware that you are there. They must be aware. Because you generate the same results. Elisha generated the same. This is my father. He called Elijah his father because he had become a son by service. Align yourself quickly. You see, the blessing is here. And I must tell you the truth. SS is a blessed church. Please don't, you don't have to deny it. I have people who are in ministry. I'm telling you, when I went to see Bishop, I have friends that have done ministry for 10 years. I know them. And so if I say SS is a blessed church, I know from what angle I'm talking about. And I know that it's real. From nothing. Zero. No Bible school. I've never been to Bible school. No seminary. No symmetry. No theology. Nothing. Just a heart that is burning for God. I have not pastored anywhere. I've not been assistant pastor. I didn't come from my experience. I didn't. Nothing. From the scratch. Like Jacob. I started from the scratches, barest minimum. I had no money, my wife and I had nothing. Closed everything we had. No keyboard, no drummer, nothing. No experience. So we had nothing to bring on board. Align for the same results. Elisha began to produce the same results that he saw in Elijah. Number three, they participate. Real sons and daughters participate. Real sons and real daughters. It's a family meeting this morning, so please follow me. I'm not here to excite. I didn't come here this morning to excite you. Honestly, I wanted to impact you. I wanted to impact you this morning. Real sons and daughters participate. They give back and feed what's feeding them. You see, the cycle of the world is that everything must feed what's feeding it. That's why a tree takes manure from the soil but drops its leaves that decays and becomes manure. The cloud takes rain by evaporation and drops it again by rain. It goes, the cycle goes on like that. So children of the house, don't sit back, fold their hands, fold their legs, and think of what the church can do for them. Oh, the church, these lights, this, they are not sons. They don't come to your father's house. Some people that are posing like this are there's some ladies now who say, I cannot marry a broke guy, but their dad are really broke. Really broke. But that's not my point. My point is this. People take responsibility in their home. People are trying to become burdens to others. And so you come from an impoverished family. You're doing nothing yourself. And you want a guy who just graduated, who is also hustling to make life ends meet. You want him to be the one. Two of you were in SS3 together. Two of you were in part one, on the level together. Why do you think that he will have a car before you? Why don't you have a car? Why can't you buy your own iPhone by yourself? Why? Why are you hoping that by the time two of you graduated, he would have been able to buy iPhone for you? Don't you have brain? What are you doing with your own life? So here's my point. That's not even my point. My point is that people do take responsibility in their homes. In their homes. When I come into my house, if the plate is dirty, it's my house. I should take responsibility in my house. Real sons and daughters don't go and stay in other people's house to be pointing bad finger to their own house. No, they don't do that. Real sons that come from the house are proud of their parents. Some people are not proud of their parents. They are slay guys and slay girls that cannot take selfie with their grandpa. Some people, we cannot see the remaining of their families. We cannot see their siblings. They have no siblings. Because they cannot snap with their sibling. Because of the distance of the hypocrisy. Of the fake life they are living. They are not sons. They are people whose parents are trekking. And they are buying iPhone for girls. Yeah. They are guys like that. They are guys whose mother is selling pure water. And they are buying phones and paying some girls' house rent in Abuja. They are guys like that too. That ask them, where is your daddy? Show us your daddy's picture. We cannot see their parents. Any person that shows you too much care and ignores his mom, we ignore you. Ask them, where is your mommy? Where is your, this thing you are doing for me, are you doing it for your mommy? You think you are enjoying? People who have the habit of abandoning people have a cycle of abandonment. They will abandon you. He abandoned his mom, he abandoned his sister, he's just excited about you because you are new. When he's gotten what he wants, he will abandon you. Ask them of their parents' pictures. If a guy comes into your life and is all mushy and so there and so romantic, ask him of his parents' picture. Where's mommy? Where's mommy? Don't say me, I don't care. So long as he takes care of me, you will be shocked. If you want to know who is nice or who is kind, look at how they treat others, not you. People who are kind treat everybody well. Everybody well. Thank you. I write them. Sons and daughters are responsible at home. A real son in the house doesn't come to church and does like this. Ah, wow. They don't even feel clean up. What does a real son do? Join in. Real sons participate. Do you go to your house at home and like this? Ah, wow. Real sons in the house see something going on and they are part of it. They give back energy. They give back. They are being fed. You are being fed of God's word. Every week you come into this place, you come to yourself every week. You are fed of God's word. God's word comes to you. You are blessed. What are you doing back? What are you doing back to bless what's blessing you? If you don't bless what's blessing you, it will determine what you can get from it. You know, people are here complaining about their children. Okay, now I've talked about it, but now this is going to hit everybody. This Gen Z children. Children are the fault of their parents. Yes. They gave back to them. Any child will turn out. Because they left them alone to be trained by computers. So, the same way they were imbibed with godly scriptural lessons, they left their children in the hands of teachers, who finally began to molest their young girls because the parent was too busy making money, forgot he was supposed to be making his children. So if you invest a little, you only get a little. My friends were telling me about, I was calling some of our church members who were in the UK, and the amount of child, what do you call that thing? Care. People travel abroad to go and start care job. They are cleaning people's bum bum. I say, where are their children? He said, ah, children, they don't even care about their parents. So how can you have a society when the old and the aged are abandoned like that? Something got missing somewhere. Something got wrong somewhere. Why are the children feeling like they have no responsibility to their parents? It's very terrible. Very terrible. So children at home are responsible. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. I'll round this up very fast. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. What does it say? Run it to verse 19. Philippians 4, 15, 19. Run around.
Now ye Philippians know also,
yes,
that in the beginning of the gospel,
yes,
when I from Macedonia,
yeah,
no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving.
Verse 15, media, yes.
But ye only.
Ye only.
For even in Thessalonica,
yes,
ye sent once again unto my necessity.
So here's Paul. Paul was writing to the Philippian church. He said there was no church that gave Paul gifts like the Philippian church. They didn't want to even hear that he had need. The Bible says they sent Epaphroditus. You know, Epaphroditus almost got sick. He got terribly sick because he was, you know, looking for Paul, trying to give him the gift that the Philippian church sent to him. The Bible says no church did that. Yes, next. What does it say next?
Not because I desire a gift.
Yes.
But I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
Now, if you look at this verse 17 in NLT. Give me verse 17 NLT. Verse 17 NLT and in Amplified. Give it to me fast, quickly. Verse 17 NLT first, then give me Amplified. What does it say NLT?
I don't say this because I want a gift from you.
So Paul said, look, it's not because I have any need. I'm not saying this because I have a need from you or I need a gift from you. Yes?
Rather, I want to receive a reward for your kindness.
I want you. Paul said the only way you can receive a reward is that you have opened up an account with God because of your kindness to me. Are you following my point? So because you gave to me, you opened up an account with God, such that God is able to bless you back. Give me Amplify. What does Amplify say? Amplify for verse 17.
Not that I seek the gift itself.
Yes.
But I do seek the profit which increases to your heavenly account.
Yes.
The blessing which is
accumulating for you. That's what I'm looking for. I want you to get blessed. So if you go on and on, you get to verse 19, which is one of your favorite scriptures that says, my Lord shall supply what?
All your needs.
Yes. So all that scripture of my God supplying all your needs is hinged on the fact that the Philippian church was pouring out to Paul. So that scripture is not a lone scripture. You can't just wake up from your house in the morning and say, I know my God shall supply. No. The people already opened an account with Paul that made Paul open his mouth and said, my God You know, sometimes we say, God, God. At this point, say, I have a God that will supply. So it's an account open with Paul. People who are real sons have responsibility in the house. They participate. Second, number one, like I said, they are planted. Number two, they grow. Sons grow. In Galatians 1, it says, as long as a child or heir remains a child, is not different from a slave. Galatians 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, verse 1. Sons grow up. Someone say, grow up. Say, grow up. Say again, say, grow up. Say it very well. Now say, grow up. Yes. Galatians 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's a child of the house. He's a heir of the house. You are heir of the house. You are a child, a son in this house. But yet you are not able to enter into the fulfillment of your realities in God because you have not grown. God wants you to grow up. In Acts 24, he said, I'm coming to you the word of his grace that is able to build you up and then to give you an inheritance. God wants you to grow. If you have been SLC all this while and you're not growing, there's a problem. You should be growing. Your faith life should be growing. Your finances should be growing. You should not be here the same way you were last 2 years. No. God wants you to grow. He wants you to be better. You know, it's going to happen whether we like it or not. SS is going to extend. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Canada. We're going to be in California. We're going to be in Manchester. We're going to be in Lagos. We're going to be in Ibadan. SS is going to be everywhere. And we are going to send people from here to pastor this. Somebody say amen. If you like, do God forbid. Your God forbid cannot cancel God's purpose for your life. There's nothing you can do. You can, if your name is Samuel, you are Samuel. You cannot Salo. The hand of God will reach you where you are. You need to grow. Sons grow. You grow into your inheritance. You grow into your inheritance. Some of us have remained on the same stage for too long. When I was on campus, the Lord said to me, said, son, I said, yes, early morning, quiet time. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. He says, my son, Philip. I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He said, you can never be richer than this ever in your life. I said, Abba. I was on campus. I was very broke. I said, God, how can you say that? I rebuke you, voice of Satan. God said, it's not Satan. I'm the one speaking. You cannot be richer than this till you die. Ah. I said, God, please, if I've offended you, you are my Father, Heavenly Father. Just tell me. I would say I'm sorry. I will repent. Why curse me? Because it's not a curse. It's a fact. You cannot be richer than this till you die. Ah, I said, okay, so explain to me. He said, there's a child. He was given back by a man that had everything you can think of. The man was infinitely wealthy, had all the money. This was God talking to me that early morning. He had all the money, all the wealth, all the luxury you can think about. He had the planes and the hangar. He had the helicopters. He had everything. He had it. And he had a small child. The child was just 5 years old. And this man died and left. But the lawyers were giving this guy 100 naira every day. Who owns all the helicopters? Who owns all the planes? I says the guy. Who owns all the houses? I says the guy. Who owns all the duplex? I says the guy. He said, but they're giving him 100 naira every day. When he was 10 years old, they increased it to 500 naira. Who owns all the planes? I says the guy. Who owns all the helicopters? I says the guy. When he grew up to 20, they started giving him 1,000 or 2,000 every day. But who owns all the planes? I says the guy. Say now when he became 30, they handed over everything to him. Is he richer at age 30 than he was at age 5? I said, no. God said, it's your growth that determines your inheritance. As you grow into your inheritance. You grow into it. Your growth. So the faster you grow, the faster you step into what God has for you. You have to grow up. Talking about growth, let's talk about SLC's culture. What's SLC's culture? Number one culture of SLC. Who knows it? Culture in SLC. Who knows there's culture for SLC? First culture of SLC. Who knows it? So some of us don't know it because we don't say it enough. And that's my own error. I should be saying it every time. Number one is honor. Help me, media. Honor is our first culture in SLC. In growing, I need to let you know this. Honor is a culture. Honor for God. Number one, honor for God. Please listen to me carefully. This is what is going to align you in the flow. There's a flow of God's blessing. Somebody came to meet me this morning. He's going to share his testimony tomorrow or next week Sunday. He said, Pastor,
Can you believe it? I was going to go buy a car for a person. It's a new car, you know, and I was giving the money to go and buy it, and I went to go and buy it, and as I was buying it, they said, which one do you think the person should have? Which one do you prefer? Yeah, I said, this car is very good for the person. He chose a very nice car for the person. When it was done, because he was talking about, he talked to one of a staff or something. When it was done selecting, they made payment, and they gave him the documents and the car key, and it says, your car. So he shared testimony with me this morning. Said, Pastor, I came to church with a new car, no number plates. He said, I went to buy it. That's grace. That's a flow. That's a flow. That's a flow. That's a flow. Honor, number one, for God. Honor for God. Honor God with your body. Honor God with your thought life. Honor God with your life. Honor God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Honor God with your life. If you know you are going to delete it, don't do it. Honor God totally with your life. Honor his word by obeying it. Honor his word. The church is going to get a bit quiet on me now. Yeah, I'm going to preach it. Honor him by obeying him. Honor his word. How do you respond to God's word? When you come to yourself, don't come to yourself without a notepad and something to write with. Don't come and fold your hands like if you have seen Wizkid, as if Wizkid is coming to. I'm not Wizkid. I came to teach you. Don't fold your hands as if say, okay, bless me if you dare. I hear with thee. Last pastor, try, you know, see me bless. Let me see how you could do it. Every time I go to God's presence and I take a notepad, he talks to me more because he sees I'm serious. In Habakkuk, he says, write down the vision. He tells Moses, write it down. Write it down. Don't come to church without a notepad. Respond to God's word. Respond. Look at our instrumentalists. Respond. Most churches use instrumental after they finish playing. They go outside and go and be gisting. We have anointed instrumentalists. All these men, they are pastors. Deliberately. See their journal. Big journal. Honor God by following his word, by putting his word first place. Every question, what did God's word say? What did God's word say? He says, trust not in your understanding. Lean not in yourself. He says, but acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Honor God in your relationship. In this, your courtship, honor God there. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. The reason why I don't want, there's some things I don't want to talk about. But I'm telling you, the truth is that if two of us cannot honor God before we marry, by the time we marry, we cannot use God's word to intimidate anybody. Since we're already disobeying God, let's just be disobeying him. Anybody that is committing fornication is free to commit adultery.
Yes, sir.
The word of God that says do not commit adultery was the one that says do not commit fornication. So if you cannot choose and pick, say, this one pay me, that one not pay me. No. Are you following my point? And listen to me, there is nothing you are doing now that somebody has not done before. If you are yes, he said, you can stop today. You can say no. There was a lady that came to meet me, was having some form of relationship that was wrong. I said, you can stop now. Stop now. Stop now. You can stop. This is my ears. You know, I told you I'm a pastor. I need therapy sometimes. I've heard shaking. If I tell you things I've heard in this, my life, they come to my office and tell me, my body will be shaking like this. I'll go and say, give me water, give me water. I've had shaking in this life. My ears have yet shaking. There's nothing to tell me in this church again that can be new. I've had everything. I say, stop now. Don't give little puffs of life. Don't. Somebody you're already having feelings for. Stop tightening your body to the person. Stop. If you already have, if you're going to stop, if you have had sex with someone who is not your wife, you can never have a platonic friendship again. The end of your friendship has come. If you and I have been having sex, we say we are not doing it again. We can say, okay, let's remain friends. We cannot remain friends. This is why we cannot remain friends, is that both of us still have feelings for each other. Every time we fall into circumstances or situations that can allow that thing to happen, it will happen again. And that's why I tell people that are in courtships that are about to marry each other, and they are committing fornication. They come and say, Pastor, we are committing fornication. We want to stop. I say, look, you cannot stop.
You cannot stop. In some churches, they will suspend them. In some churches, they will tell them, we are two of you, we break this relationship. You've only broke it in your office. They are going to continue. You see, flesh and sex are very powerful. Sex is very powerful. After money is sex. After money is sex. Don't play with it. I'm telling you from the throne of God. If somebody has been having sex with you, you cannot be friends again. Except two of you had a terrible fight and are no longer friends. But that thing about me, let's just remain friends, cannot work. Even people that had crush in university, they meet in alumni meeting. 20 years afterwards, they're having sex again. Both of them are married and are in relationships and are in their marriages and are kids. Both of them came and they had sex again because old fires don't die easily. You stay clear. Stay clear. Stay clear. That's the solution. So when they come and say, Pastor, I will say, when do you want to marry? Because this sex, you just have to find a way to legalize it. You have already tasted of the fruit. Your appetite is already woken up. Except you two don't stay in the same room ever. Me and my wife, when I was courting my wife, I was always sexually attracted to her. Always. I don't agree that you marry somebody you're not sexually attracted to. As much as I think you should not have sex before marriage, don't marry somebody you don't want to have sex with. Just write that thing in the corner. Just one corner of your book. Just write it there. One corner. And fold it. Words of wisdom. As much as I do not agree that you should have sex before marriage, because the word commands it, don't marry somebody you don't want to sleep with. Anybody with a smell to you. Anybody you see and you detest. Say, if not for Holy Ghost, who can be going out? Don't even marry them. Sex is a strong force in marriage. Anyone you are not physically attracted to, don't say, you know, I believe in that. I know this thing I'm saying will cause a lot of ripples. Some people say it's a lie. It's BJJ. Me, I'm telling you the truth. If you like, follow me. If you like, go and marry somebody you don't like. Me, I'm already by someone that I like. And I'm having as much sex as I can have in my lifetime. So you go and marry somebody you hate and say it's the Holy Ghost that forced you to marry the person. Two of you will continue in speaking in tongues and prayers all night. I've told you now, a word is enough. I was always sexually attracted. Every time I would go, I would be adjusting my boxer in the toilet. I would be adjusting my boxer. What's going on, man of God? What's going on? So when we are cutting, we are always trekking up and down. We never stay in the room. Like Fulani, yes, man. We are always trekking. See, we are going for a walk. Always, because if you should stay in the room, I would have needed to touch this guy. Because there's blood flowing in my veins. Me, I know they lie. So the only solution was not to say, Father, we fight against the... Hey, we are not fighting. Let us go outside. This thing will be very difficult for us to do outside. So we put ourselves in situations that makes it impossible to do it. We did not even pray about it. We acted against it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Honor God with your body. As a young man, as a young woman, the things you are feeling in your body now was put there by God. When you wake up in the morning and every other thing is waking up with you, that thing there, arise and shine, for thy light has come. And thy glory is risen. That glory was put there by God. But it says, the vision may tarry. But what? Wait for it. For the appointed time. There's an appointed time. He said, wake not love before our time. Love will be woken up, but at the time. The reason why all of some people are checking, always checking their husband's phone, always checking their wife's phone, always checking, is because you people had a very miserable, terrible, sinful, corruptful relationship. So you don't trust each other. You know you cannot trust this guy. She, it will know that you cannot trust him. So you are living a very miserable marriage. Honor God. Honor his word by responding. Number two, honor the leadership. Honor the pastors. Honor the leaders that God has put ahead of you. There's a flow. Bible says without contradiction, Hebrews 7 verse 7, the less is blessed. Ha, time to Lord. Is blessed of the greater. If you align yourself in a way that you honor the person ahead of you, there will be a flow of oil. Oil does not flow upward, it flows downwards. Is it like the oil on the head of Aaron to his beard, down to the brink of his robe? There's an oil on my life that flows. There's a guy in this church, honors me. I know honor when I see it. I know honor when I see it. Some people don't know how to honor. The entire job of the protocol is honor. Some people are not honor. Some people don't honor God. Some people, as I'm preaching now, they are just pressing their phone. They have no honor for God. They are just tweeting. They are just chatting. They, no honor. That's what they do. That's what they will do when they are getting to heaven. Until one angel throw them to hell. God is speaking. You are chatting. No honor. We are leading prayer. They sat down. They cross their leg as if they are the Almighty God. No honor. Don't do that. Necessary. When somebody comes here to lead prayer, stand up and pray. That's honor. Be part of the worship. That's honor. God is seeing you. When the word is going, that's not when it starts. There's some people say, when the word of God wants to come, that they go and wee-wee. They're only going to wee-wee. Their body will not stay because they are not used to honor. How will you stay in the presence of the king? Some people are talking throughout. They will do that. One day they are going to throw them out. Honor. Where was I if I even come yourself? The anointing flow. So the guy is here in this church. Solid guy. And I'm so blessed by what I see God doing in his life. You know what he does for me? Every week, he carries my car. You go and wash it there. 500 naira. 500 naira. Only 500 naira. You see, 500 is not my problem. 500 is my problem. My problem is that I don't have time to drive my car to go and wash it. That is what I don't have. That's my problem. I cannot drive my car and sit down. Where would I see that time? So, as I'm driving, I'll soon drive it. I'll soon wash it. I'll soon wash it. I'll soon wash it. I'll soon wash it. I'll soon bring it like dirty on Sunday morning. The moment he sees me, bah, he collects the car key straight, drives it off, washes the car, brings it back. He does it every Sunday. Sometimes I'll say he has wrapped 5,000 naira behind his steering. 5,000 naira is not my problem. You see, every time I see that, I will sit in that car and I will bless him. 500 naira, 500 naira, wash my car, 500 naira. I will say, Father, he doesn't have a car. He was doing that. In December 31st into this new year, I came out. He had gone to wash my car again. Ah! As I entered, I came down. I said, you are buying a car. Now! I just said like that. He said, amen. Yes, sir. Amen. In 2 weeks, he came to church with his car. In 2 weeks, he came to church with his own car. Oh, no! We align you for a flow. I need to teach you this. I need to teach you this. You see, when time Pastor Kingsley, Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Mildred, God has helped them. Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Mildred, they are blessed. Do you know those guys are blessed? Superbly blessed. They are everywhere in the world. They are everywhere. I count it a privilege, my wife and I, to honor them. Anytime they come, we honor them. Because that's the best you can give to them. So when they come to Abuja, even the last time they came, they were not coming to preach for us. They came to preach in Holy Hill. But anytime they are now, we will go there as honor to them. But sitting down when they are preaching is honor to them. We'll go there, me and my wife, we sit down there, we are listening to them. When they came to SLC, we told Ike, it was Ike, I said, Ike, how can you help us? Protocol guys, we said, we are going to clear the road, the airport, clear the airport till they enter the plane. We spent money. They did not check their shoes, they say, remove your shoe, remove your something. They didn't remove anything. From the VIP section, they carried their bags, they took them straight into the VIP lounge. From there, they came and announced to them that your flight is ready, sir. They don't wait anything. He said, what's up? It's you. That one, no concern. They came and said, sir, your flight is ready. They carried their bag. We did it for them. They liked it. Ah! They said, Philip, God bless you. They said, those your guys are the best guys. So I've been coming to preach. There's no protocol against us. Protocol. Those guys are sad. We clear all. We put in locks. Wow. In locks. We put police. Everything. Clear all. 2 Land Cruiser. We paid money for that. They have more than that money. If you enter Pastor Kingsley's garage, he's a car freak. He bought a car, $10,000. Antique car. For $10,000. Car that he will not ride. See, he likes antique things. And he used $10,000 to buy something that he will not ride. So they are blessed. When he came to preach for Pastor Sunday, he said, Pastor Sunday, he said, it is Philip. Even they came to me, Pastor Sunday, he said, Pastor Sunday, now Philip protocol will carry me go airport. Now Philip protocol. So I called my guys again. Guys, we are clear. We spent almost 100,000 to clear the road. He said, that's what you guys did that time. Do it again for me. He was going to UK this time. You imagine going to UK and they cleared the road. Clear VIP. My wife went, we had some heroes with us that day. I remember. I said, they're going to Europe. Let's get them. So we got them. So we knelt down. They prayed for us. They blessed us from their heart. You see, there's nothing I can ask Pastor Kingsley in this world. I will not do it for him. He will be telling us that, Philip, you be my guy. When we went to their church, they put us in the front. He was one that handpicked me like this and said, Apostle Selman, this one of Apostle Selman should have come to our convention. He said he's busy. He was begging us, please, can you give me another Sunday to come? If I can't make it this Sunday, can I come? So now we can say, Pastor Selman, we can bring Apostle Selman to, if you want Apostle Selman to come. Koinonia. It's me. I want everything to be robust. If I ask him to come. It was Pastor Selman that did it. Because of honor. We have overspoken that one. Number two is what? Intentionality. Honor God. There are a lot of scriptures for that. I would have loved to go through the scriptures, but honor is our culture. Number two, intentionality. We are intentional with what we do. Intentional with soul winning. Very intentional. We don't give anything to chance. If you leave anything to chance, you have no chance. Intention about soul winning. Intention about fulfilling the word that God has. What word did God give in your life? How intentional are you about it? How strong are you pursuing the word that God gave to you? If God gave you a word in your business, are you intentional about following it to the core? Pursuing it to the core? Doing everything necessarily possible to ensure that word comes to pass? That's being intentional. You are intentional about growing our church. God says, I've given you the city. We are intentional about reaching out. We are building everything to ensure that people are able to come. We put buses on the road. We do all that because we are intentional. Be intentional with God's word in your life. Be intentional with SLC this year. It will put the flow in your life. I don't want to give too much because the testimonies end up taking all the whole sermon. But I can tell you guys who are extremely intentional and what God has done for them. I have several testimonies with that. Be intentional. Be clear. Pursue. Follow it. Follow what God has put in your heart. Follow it with all your heart. Follow it and you'll see the results. I'm rushing. Number three is responsibility. Responsibility, I've touched a bit on that earlier, that people, sons in the house participate. They are responsible. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Help me with that piece. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. Let's look at NLT. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. NLT.
These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah.
Yes.
In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King...
Are you giving me NLT?
Yes.
Okay. NLT.
NLT.
All right. Okay, continue.
20th year of King Artaxerxes.
Yes.
Reign.
Yeah.
I was at the fortress of Susa.
Yeah.
Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit with me.
Yes.
Some other men who had just arrived from Judah.
Yes.
I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity.
Yes.
And about how things are going in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah.
Yeah.
They are in great trouble and disgrace.
Yes.
The wall of Jerusalem has been turned down and the gates have been destroyed by fire.
Yes.
When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven.
So you see, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He had things working well for him. You get my point? Nehemiah didn't have a problem. He was in Babylon. He was doing well. He was okay. He was working in the palace. He was working in government. But when he heard that his brothers were not doing well, he's a responsible child of God. The Bible says he broke down and began to cry. He didn't say, no concern me. After all, my own don't claim. My own road don't straight. He was concerned about his siblings who are in the Lord. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. So what did he do?
Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King
rain. Yeah. I was serving the king his wine.
Okay.
I had never before appeared sad in his presence.
Yes.
So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? Mm. You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Mm-hmm. Then I was terrified. But I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, mm. and gates have been destroyed by fire.
So it was so terrible. You read verse 4 for me now. It was so terrible in those days that if you appear before the king sad, the king has said that he's going to behead you. You have brought sadness to the palace. Everyone before the king must be joyful, must be excited. That's how it is. He must bring joy to the palace. So by coming looking sad was already a risk on his own life. Give me verse 4, verse 4 say.
The king asked, well, yes. How can I help?
How can I help?
With a prayer to the God of heaven.
Yes.
I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judea to rebuild the city where my ancestors were buried.
Now, the Bible says he prayed to God and said to the king, King, if you wouldn't mind and you would help me, send me. That's a responsible child of God. Remember what I said? Sons in the house are responsible. They are responsible with everything, with their position. They even use their position. If you have in your office, for instance, we use people's influence. Somebody might be in police. They are in police. That's a police officer. Is in his army. So when we want the police in this office, in this church, we use their influence. There are people who had threats that they wanted to do this. We got police officers to stay. We can use influence. Somebody called me from Lagos. He said, Pastor, my father is a director in a hotel. Any day you come to Lagos, you can have a room in a hotel. Any day, for as long as you want. That's using somebody's influence. That's responsibility. So the money I would have used to pay to lodge in an hotel is cleared. She didn't give me money. She gave me influence. Are you following my point? So Nehemiah used his influence in the king's palace to gather finance from the king's palace. That's responsible. That's responsibility as a child. You have responsibility. You have influence among your friends. You can even say, there are some of you. If I count people here, how many of you, Mercy brought you to church? Let me finish. Mercy Lee, you came to church because Mercy Lee. Mercy Lee, who else? Mercy Lee was one that invited you. I know I can count some number. How many of you just Bucci? Mercy Lee. How many of you just Bucci that brought you to this church? Bucci. Lift your hands. Bucci. Bucci. How many Bucci? Bucci. So you guys are shy. I'm not going to kill you now. I'm just going to ask a question. All right. So I can point people who use their influence and they brought in their friends. Come to SLC. Come to SLC. Some of them now are even workers because they came to SLC. If you look at Uncle Joe, that Uncle Joe that is behind our sound, he's one of the most hardworking worker in this church. That Uncle Joe. And why did Uncle Joe come? Why did he come to church? Uncle Joe came to church because of SJ, this drummer here. SJ was always posting SLC in his post, always posting SLC experience. SLC experience. Come and have a taste. You'll never ever say, Uncle Joe said, Abba, this is, don't kill us. Let me come one day. Came one day, and since he came, he went and brought his entire family. That's why he's there now. Influence. 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 People use their influence. People use their money. Some of us have money, but we're hiding our money. Say, no, I can never give my money to church. I can never give my, all those pastors. They're just chopping people's money. I'm not chopping anybody's money. I'm spending from the pocket of God, as you're looking at me like this. I speak man like this inside God's pockets. I'm not topping anybody's money. But there are people who have money. There are people that God has been talking to you that my son, my daughter, that money in your account. This thing they are paying for, why not give it? They never, Satan, I rebuke you. You know, I use an iPhone 13. I use an iPhone 13. iPhone 13 Pro Max 512 gig. That's my phone. That phone was bought for about ₦1 million. I was sitting down like this. And I dropped my phone, my iPhone 11, that I was using JJ Lee. Drop it like that. And there was, I think the screensaver had cracked or something. My screen did not crack, it was just the screensaver cracked. And there was a protocol member that sat down. And God said, see my son's phone. Go and check him. Give him my iPhone 13. iPhone 13. So he called my wife. Me, I was very okay with my iPhone 11. I'm making phone call. I'm hearing the person I'm calling clearly. I was coming from Lagos, went to do ministry. Came back, my wife and I. Somebody met me at the airport. Pastor, I have a gift for you. Blah, 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 blah. Took me to his car. I was honestly thinking it was a shirt. I said, just give me the shirt. I hope it's my size. Do you check my size before you bought it? That was on my mind. I hope it's white. Don't go and buy color pink. I don't wear pink. I don't wear indigo. You know, so He brought out the phone, iPhone 13 Pro Max. Open box. I said, knee down here. Knee down here. Here. In the airport like that. Knee down here now. In the name of Jesus. Because I knew he was not using that kind of phone. He was not using that kind of phone. That's not the phone he was using. I prayed for him that day. He went. The next time he came, he brought a millionaire cash. I said, the Lord said to me, you see, after that 1 million, he has brought another one that is more than 1 million. I'm seeing him as he's growing like this. Before my eyes, I'm seeing it happen. And somebody has asked 1,000. Say, never. I'd rather die. You be there. You be there. I'm a seed sower. I'm a seed sower. I'm here. I'm a seed sower. When I went to see my mentor yesterday, I went there with a seed. I asked his PA, please give me his account number. Straight. Baba, I don't drop something. He said, no, Philip, don't send me anything. I'm seeing the work you are doing. I want to. I said, sir, no. Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. I will never collect money from my mentor. Never. I went to Holy Hill. Holy Hill, they are doing a lot of restructuring. They are building things. I went there. I saw what's going on. I said, this is beautiful. I took my phone. I said, pastor, I've sent my own seed straight away. So I'm sending seeds. I'm planting seeds. I'm planting seeds. And there are children here that will buy me airplane in this church. I'm planting seeds. I am already sowing those seeds. And I know they will bring forth fruit. I know. So the remaining 1,000 in your hand, that you say never, akutukuni, they rather bury me with it. It will be there like that. I'm telling you the truth. You see, I'm very, very careful about teaching this kind of thing because money has been abused in the church. A lot of things have been. So a lot of pastors, particularly people like me that don't want to be seen, like we're asking for money. You know, I don't want to preach it. I'm very touchy. I just want to avoid it. But I can. Let me tell you the truth. You are going to be poor if you don't give. I can guarantee you under heaven. You're going to be poor if you don't give. If you don't give to God's work, you're going to be poor. If you don't give to the poor, give around you, you're going to be poor. It's a circle. And so you're a responsible child of God. We say, okay, well, I want to buy a screen. I want to buy a screen. Somebody, their one night has not entered this screen. Because they don't see any reason. And yet they're looking at it. How are you feeling? That you did not drop one kobo. And yet, you have the boldness to be reading scripture from it. Is it not doing you some harm? Don't you have conscience? You cross your leg and you are say, yes, yes. Media, give us. And you did not put anything to it. That's not responsible. You know, I've not said give this amount of gifts. I don't do that. But I say, look at your sister. Your sister has a lot of testimony around that. She shared it with me. How much does she give? 5K, 10K, 1K, 5K. God, no seed is small. It is that seed is to you as it is to you. Is it as it is to God? If all you have is 2,000 and you give 1,000, you have given half of your life. It is half of your life before God. It's not because somebody else has given you 100,000 or 1 million. Your seed is to you as it is to God. So if I don't teach you, nobody else will. I'm your pastor. I need to let you know. How did I rise? I rose. If I go to my wife and if I go to Bishop B, I go. King James, how many times have I had to say, give me mint in those days? Give me mint, give me mint, give me mint. Because if I don't have foreign currency, I want to at least go with cha-cha, cha. That if you put it on, I can even cut your hand. Mint. If I'm going to say, I will go there, I will need that my wife and I. Take, sir. They will bless us. They will bless us. Is it because they need that money? No. Paul says, because I need an account in your name. I have given. I'm giving. I went to Lagos. Pastor Kojo Imade's church for Wafbeck. I went there with dollars. I am very deliberate with my seeds. When he came here, we made up our mind that we're going to give him his honorarium in dollars. Somebody brought a seed to me. I said, pastor, I'm sowing in dollars because I want to reap in dollars. That was what he said. A person just came, he brought £1,000. £1,000. He said, I vowed to God I was going to brought in this church. Why you sat down there and said, never. They rather kill me. People are there rising. And I'm not saying this because I need your cash. Look, I am blessed. My family is blessed. And honestly, if nobody gives me money, I'm not going to starve. I'm too gifted to be stranded. I'm telling you the truth. If I want to do business, I will make it. If I want to teach marketing, and I charge people, it's only one lecture you come. You will come another one. I am too gifted. God has blessed me with too much. I can do anything. I mean, I went to an office. I was supposed to print for them. I ended up doing almost everything I wanted to do. Carpentry, welding, everything. The anointing on my head, I must not carry inside business. It will be flowing like a river. I can pray in the tongues for 3 hours, 5 hours. I'll carry it, pray in tongues for 5 hours, enter business. Everybody will clear out. I went to a particular place. They gave me a job, a carpentry job. I'm not a carpenter. I just said, you people should do this. They said, sir, can you be able to ever do this? Someone said, yeah, bring it, let me do it. I did it. The carpenter that did it, when I took my carpenter there, he met his former Oga in that show office. He said, Oga, how did you collect this job from this man? I said, no, the girls gave me the job. He said, this man is a diabolical man. I worked for him before. His charms, all his money is used to do charms. Nobody can collect any job. I said, me, I collected it accidentally. I didn't even collect it with prayer. I unknowingly collected it to let you know how casual his charms are. Imagine if I enter business deliberately. Imagine if I'm projecting and I'm prospecting that I'm into furniture making and I'm doing it deliberately. This one was just an accident. So I am too blessed to be stranded. When I say you should give, I'm telling you for you. Nobody will tell you if I'm not your pastor. I must tell you. If you are too tight fisted, is it that we told more than time to law? There's one that we told more than necessary and it tended to penury. Anyone you see rising in this church, they are givers. I can mention their names. Anyone you see rising in this church, they are all givers. Anyone you see rising in this church, and I'm the pastor of this church, I don't receive a lot. Again, like I used to, if I used to collect a lot, I used to say, yes, that's me. I don't get a lot again, so I don't know who's giving or who's not giving. But I know those that started giving when we started, they are very far from where they were. He's layer to this. He's a lawyer. Very far from where they started. I'm so proud of him. He built an entire school, classrooms for the poor in the village. I followed him there to the kids. When I got there, my shoulder was like this. Yes, we are here. You see, that's his pastor. I say, yes, I'm his pastor. I'm proud of him. But I knew how he started. Today, he gives out in millions. But he started, he didn't start like that. When he drops his tithe is gigging. He has dropped it a long time. He has spent. Have you not spent the money? You have spent, have you? So people not going to kidnap him. He has spent the money. He's no longer. But he didn't start like that. He didn't start like that. He didn't start like that. There are people in this place, Bobby, that will give tithes in millions in this church. In this church. In millions in foreign currencies in this church. Somebody will just see smart and say, Pastor, I think you should do this. Pastor, I think I don't like this. Some people will get things done without me knowing. The media people came together and they rose, they put together 1 million naira. We used to rent a mixer. Every service, 25,000. How much was the mixer? The mixer was about 1.7 million. And we rented 25,000. They said, no, we're not doing it again. So they said, they came together. The rules of 1 million naira amongst themselves. I said, Pastor, we have 1 million. Can you give us 650,000? So we said, wow, you guys have tried. 1 million naira? Wow. Give us 650. So we bought our own mixer. Now, the people that are buying that mixer, you think they're going to make sense? I don't even know them all. But I will soon start knowing them. Because it will show. I will soon start knowing them. Now, they say, Pastor, you know, we're trying to get line array speakers. We don't like speakers. One of those ones that used to hang. I say, help yourself. Just help yourself. Help yourself. People are growing. I'm your pastor. I must teach you responsibility in the house where you say you belong. I said, I know your son in his house. You know your son. If you're a son, you're a daughter, you must. It's of necessity. Some people don't even give to their parents at home. That's how bad it is. How are you going to prosper? How are you going to prosper? Your parents at home, nothing, no shingai. Instead, you are even collecting from their hand till now. I said, after all, they're the one that brought me to the earth. Ha! Hey, after all, what was I doing? Was I not my home in heaven before they brought me here? You cannot even recharge 2K recharge card and say, Mommy, data, daddy, take. You have not done for your biological parents. You have not done for your spiritual parents. You have not done for anything. You cannot be well deal. I'm teaching you now as your pastor. There's something that triggers the blessing. When Isaac asked for the venison, he said, give me something that I may eat, that my soul may be pleased. And I will. It's not because Isaac has not eaten food before. Isaac could have asked his wife, Rebecca, I'm hungry. Rebecca said, okay, let me give you that your food. He wanted something to come from the hands of Esau that would trigger a blessing in his soul. I'm telling you the truth. This is true everywhere. I do it. I practice it. I said, I still sowed my own seed yesterday. I was my pastor, sowed my seed. I knelt down. He used his two hands to grab my head and proclaim heavy blessings on me. That is why it will be showing. It must be showing. Mama, you'll be your journey. I'll be rising like the sun, like this. There's no, nothing can end it. Because I do it. I'm not teaching you to do what I'm not practicing. But if you stay there and say, no, I'm not going to be responsible. I'm just going to come, enjoy church. And I say, there's no time. Let me go. Nothing can change like that. Were you blessed this morning? So this sermon, I did not preach for outside. I'm preaching to SLC. Every member of SLC. By this time next year, everyone here will be 7 times better than they are right now. Financially, health-wise, in every ramification. In the name of Jesus. If right now, as you hear me, you don't have a car of your own, by this time next year, you'll be driving a car of your own. If by now your business is just in one location, you have only one extension, by this time next year, when you come back, your business will be more than 2 locations. In the name of Jesus. The number of your clientele, the people you service in your business, would have doubled 7 times. I said double 7 times. If you are in real estate here, real estate business, if you're in real estate business, God will give you choice lands on this city. Choice. 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 Choice lands. He will take you from an ordinary agent to an owner. You are not saying amen. You are not just going to be helping people to meet person wants to buy. You are going to be the seller. You have homes, have houses that you want to sell. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you today, if you are in the automobile business, you sell cars, but you don't have a car. Your one is just to load somebody that wants to sell, and then you connect to someone that wants to buy, and you collect commission. Your days of commission are running down. God is going to give you the principal. The principal. Hey, your amen is not loud. Your amen is not loud. If you are here under the sound of my voice and you don't have a job, you don't have a job. Your heart seeks a job. You know that it's God's will for you not to be idle. But now you don't have a job. By the end of this year, I declare, by 31st of December this year, God would have given you a prosperous job. I said God would have given you a prosperous job. In the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hands like this. Like you want to receive something. Father, I pray over these hands before me. These hands will not lack. Kadabakush ketebredele bakata. Engeboluku viliki blia kateniki brataya. Raduku shigedede borodoboko soteke brandele ketaya. Ike barado jegedele boko buluku viliki brataya. Engende di koko jaka baradike baradosi. I pray over these hands before me, Jesus. Ikende koko baradike bliata. You have spoken to my heart and I've said it just the way you have put it in my heart. These hands will not lack. In the name of Jesus. From these hands, many will eat. That guy told me, he said, Pastor, you told me that I would take money out of money. He said, since you said it, I have never run out of money. I therefore declare that these hands will take money out of money. These hands will take money out of money. These hands will take money out of money. In the name of Jesus. Put those hands on your head. I pray for wisdom. Supernatural wisdom, insight,
beyond human understanding. Business systems, business strategies, business economics, everything that makes things work. I pray over your mind. The same wisdom that was at work in Daniel that put him ahead of his mates. The same wisdom that was at work in Joseph that made him the principal of the house of Potiphar. I declare the wisdom of God is at work in you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you today. You are blessed. I bless you today. You are blessed. From the depth of my heart, as your pastor, I open my mouth and the bowels of my spirit, and I declare you blessed. Your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the field. Many will see you and favor you. Everybody that sees you will help you. Strangers will build your walls. Kings will send for you. In the name of Jesus. Lift those hands and give God praise. Father, I thank you. My hands will bear plenty. My hands will bear plenty. If you are in the culinary business, you do cooking, baking, it's a season of abundance for you. Season of abundance for you. Dr. Demi, you are entering a season of abundance. Abundance. The Lord just told me, you are entering a season of abundance. Much more than you believe. Much than you can even handle. You will need to gather friends to help you with your harvest. Your season of harvest is come. In the name of, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Kepa, kebra, teshka, emba, bro, ko, skele, brege, de, bata, lege, de, brege, de, bege, brege, de, bege, de, dia, emba, bro, siyata. I'm entering my season of abundance. Thank you, Jesus. I'm entering my season of plenty. Thank you, Jesus. I'm entering my season of more than enough, more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. Declare it, declare it, declare it. Father, I thank you. More, 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 more. More than enough. Abundance of all things. Abundance of all things. I will not lack one day. I will not lack one day. Starting from tomorrow. Starting from tomorrow, the doors are opening. I hear that in my spirit. The doors are opening. Every door that's been shut against you, opening, opening. Oh, opening, opening. Every door, doors of favor that's been shut against you are opening. Those doors are opening. Places you have gone to look for jobs before and they turned you back. They are asking for you back. They are asking you to come back. Doors, favor. You didn't have an option before, but now you have many options. Oh, Karabaka Sitelebata Labrataya. They said no before. Now you have 7 yeses. You have to choose from one because God made it happen. I declare over you, Iketelekadeleke Bataya. Rate, Ate, Mamba, Shataya. Ikaba Babatosa. Akabata Kabashana Mamata. Emproko Sulebataya. More than enough, overdue for promotion. Your promotion is here. Your promotion is here. The wind blows upon your business. The wind blows upon your business. The fragrance of your business. Fill the earth. Every supernatural oppression of the devil over your finance. If you are here and you are stranded because of demonic influence, every demonic influence over your finance is broken. It's broken. This morning, break every chain. Every demonic activity in your finance, anything. If you are here and the reason why you are stranded is because there's a demonic oppression, I speak as a servant of God and I speak into your finance. Be loosed now. Be loosed now. In the name of Jesus. God's favor is upon you. God's favor is upon you. God's favor is upon you. Doors are opening for you. Doors are opening for you. The doors are opening for Heshatalabataya. Ekabala Lebata. Zaka Mamba Mambata. Ebrada Lebata.
fire is doors are open. Your hand will carry plenty. You know, places where they don't have, but God will orchestrate a problem. God will orchestrate a problem in certain places, certain offices, and will withdraw the solution from everybody but you. They won't have a choice but to call on you. If you have been turned down by anybody or any place, God will orchestrate situations and circumstances that will warrant for them to send for you. Only you will have the solution, and the Lord will reveal it to you. The wisdom of God is at work in your life. You have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Hey, you are not stranded. You are not stranded. You are not stranded. You are not stranded. Ikaparada bakashaya. God will help you to increase your capacity. You will begin to supply at larger quantities. In the name of Jesus. I said, starting from tomorrow, the doors are open. Shabakadayaka. Shakapapapakadayaka. Rakapapapasatanabataya. The doors are open. Shika Mamba Makita. Shakaparatika Patata. It will be just as I've said it this morning. If you are here, you are overdue for a promotion in your office. It's released now. There are some of you are long overdue where you are. You are long overdue. God is opening another door for you. That brook has dried up. God is opening another opportunity in another place. In the name of Jesus. More than you imagine. Here. The Lord says to tell you, don't hold fast to anything. Things can change. Don't say, this way I'm going to die. God can open doors anywhere. Don't say, it was God that brought me here. The Lord that brought you here can take you from here. That brook or cherry dried up, even though it was God who told Elijah to go there. And he said, I have prepared the widow of Zarephath. So there's another opening somewhere. And every door that looks shut to you, I declare them opened in the name of Jesus. The Lord said to tell you, some of you are here, it is your product that they are requesting for out of this country that will open your own door to travel there. As they are requesting for your product, they are requesting for your product and your services, and you are rendering your service excellently with responsibility. It is as you are doing that the door to those countries will be opened up unto you. I therefore declare, anyone who has suffered any form of visa denial, travel denial, I declare that the doors are open to you, in the name of Jesus. Anywhere you go this week, everyone will favor you. Your looks will favor you. Your name will favor you. Somebody will be there that will say, I just like the sound of your name. It's just your name. You know, I don't really know what I like about you. I don't really know what I like about you. It's just your name. That's favor. When we're coming to this place, they charged us about 750,000 to pay for a service for one meeting. One of the management persons here, so I don't want to mention. I would have asked him to bear me witness. They charged us about 750K to use per person. Imagine us having to pay 750K every service. We couldn't afford it. But I prayed in tongues before I came. So when I went there with the man and we sat in the office, the MD said, no, we cannot do that. No, we cannot afford that. This is impossible. I said, this is the amount we can pay now. Even this amount we are going to pay, it's a lot of faith. We are stretching to say, no, you cannot. The woman stood up, went back. They said, okay, excuse us. They go, I don't even know why I'm agreeing. I know why you are agreeing. I'm favored. The blessing of God is on my life. So she signed and agreed. She signed and agreed to an amount that was almost ridiculous considering the value. This place is in central area. We are paying a lot, but we are not paying close to what we would have been paying if God had not put his favor on our lives. That's favor. Somebody will call you and say, I don't know why I want to help you. I just don't know how I want to help you. This thing is working, though. This thing is working. I'm telling the truth. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. You are going this week. As you go, expect it to happen. They will request for your services in large quantities. They will demand for your services in large quantities. The product you are producing, they will request for it in large quantities. They will request for it in foreign countries. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Just lift your hands and bless them. Father, we bless you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him, thank him, thank him for answered prayers. It's done. It's done. I declare you blessed, you are blessed. In Jesus' precious name. Yeah, so let's give our offerings right now. Yes. I want us to give our offerings now. And I want us to sow a seed to this. Please. The Lord may have steered your heart to do anything, but I want you to know that you are giving a seed to key into what God is doing right here. You want to push into it. Lagos Overflow is this week, this Sunday. Hallelujah. If you are, your claps should be louder than that. You're more excited. We are going to Lagos this weekend, and we're going to be a blessing. And that will be the beginning of, as we begin to enter and invade cities across the world. From there, we'll go to other cities as the Lord will lead us. Amen. We have a partnership card. If you want to partner or sow a seed towards the Overflow Lagos, there's a card. Some of us have filled up the card, for some of us have not. If you want to fill a card, you know, if you want to pay for the flight, you want to pay for the hotel lodge, you want to pay for the honorarium, we have categories that you can pay for in those forms. If you want to sow a seed concerning it, I want to challenge you, please. When your church is doing something like this, be a part. It's the first one. If for anything, you want to be a part of this first one, that I was there when we broke the ground. When SLC broke this ground first, I was there. My seed is in that ground. My seed is in that ground. So the forms are available. Esther, where are you? If you want the forms are there. Please wave your hands. If you have not filled up to partner with SLC for the Overflow Lagos, please, if you want the cards, please collect the cards for Esther. Esther, please look around. Anyone wants the card, you want the card, you want to fill up the card, so you can fill up the cards and drop it with your offering right now. If you have done so before, you know, that's fine. But if you have not done so before and you have not filled the card, you want to sow a seed. You want to sow a seed to the Overflow Lagos. Please get the cards. Please, let's get the cards around. If you have not collected the cards, please do so. You want to pay, well, whatever you want to pay, you want to just make sure that your seed is there. My own seed is there. And I'm deliberate. My family's seed is there. And we're deliberate. We're planting this seed because God put in our hearts. Amen. So please let the cards run. If you, whatever you want to do, please let's do that very fast. If you have not gotten cards and you want the cards, let me wave your hands. Let me see you with your hands. Look, Esther, there are people at the back here. Would you like to share with someone so that they can help you with it fast? Wave your hands again so we can see you. You have not gotten the cards and you want the cards. You want to give to us the Overflow Lagos. We are going to Lagos this weekend. This weekend on Sunday evening. About 10 of us are flying all the way to Lagos this weekend. Amen. The next one we are going now, maybe we'll go to South Africa. We'll go with about 20 people. Then we'll be going like that. Amen. Somebody say amen now. Then one day we'll not have to pay for flight again because somebody has a plane in SLC. If you don't say amen. You know, these things are sounding overboard in your head. I know that your brain is not clicking it yet. You look at your pocket. Ah, yeah, it's not me. Listen to me. The Bible says with man is impossible. With God. With God. With God. Don't count yourself out. Don't allow your current circumstance to determine your perception of yourself. I have prayed to God and I told him, I said, Lord, before this year is over, at least there will be 50 millionaires in SLC. I'm telling the truth. And I'm going to count them. I am going to count them and they must be complete. If it remains 31st of December, and they are not complete, one person will get a deal of 100 million to ensure that that number is complete. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.